Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, staff evangelist James Collins will help the saints keep it simple, and we'll have a major update you will not want to miss. So many resources are available for you at our website, SWRC.com. Books, DVDs, conference information, our latest articles from the Prophetic Observer, the ability to listen to past programs, and so much more. Visit SWRC.com today. What we need today as Christians is to get back to the Great Commandment. We need to make the main thing the main thing. Straight from the Bible, in the book of Micah, James Collins is here to help us understand how to keep it simple, saints.
I'm very excited about my new book. If the Lord tarries, I have a book scheduled to be published this October. The title is The 12, Ancient Prophetic Messages of Hope for Today's Dark World. The book focuses on the messages of the 12 minor prophets. You see, the prophets of the Old Testament were divided into two categories. They are the major prophets and the minor prophets. The major prophets were men like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The prophecies that they wrote were longer. That is why they're called major prophets. Men like Hosea, Jonah, Nahum, Micah are called minor prophets because their prophecies are shorter. But little as much when God is in it, and the messages of the minor prophets are relevant, contemporary, and life-changing. Today, I'd like to look at one of those messages from the prophet Micah. If you have your Bible and you'd like to follow along with me, I'll be in Micah chapter 6. Today, I'm speaking on this subject, keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple, saints. You know, sometimes we make things more complicated than they should be. Back in the 1960s, during the space race, the United States National Aeronautics and Space Administration, also known as NASA, decided that they needed a ballpoint pen to write in zero gravity when their space capsules were up in space. After much research and development, NASA came up with an astronaut pen at a cost of approximately $1 million. The pen worked great. It was incredible. The Soviet Union was faced with the same problem. They just used a pencil. Sometimes we complicate things. One Sunday morning, a young pastor was getting ready to deliver his message. He noticed on his sermon notes that his wife had written these letters, K-I-S-S. He thought, "Oh, how sweet, my wife gave me a little kiss." Right before he got up to preach, he said to his wife, "Thank you for the note, it was so sweet." She said, "It wasn't meant to be sweet. Those letters K-I-S-S stand for Keep It Short, Stupid." Now, you probably heard those letters K-I-S-S standing for Keep It Simple, Stupid. And I don't think it's very nice to call people stupid, so instead I want us to look at those letters in a different light. I want you to imagine that those letters, K-I-S-S, stand for Keep It Simple Saints. Did you know that the Bible calls Christians saints? If you are a born-again, blood-bought child of God, then you're a saint. But even saints tend to make things complicated. We tend to complicate the Christian life. I truly believe that we Christians have moved away from the simplicity that was in the life of Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I tried to learn to play golf. I went out and got a set of golf clubs, a golf bag, a pair of golf shoes, a pair of gloves, and a couple of those golf shirts. I even bought a funny duck-billed golf hat. I had everything that I thought I needed to play golf, except for the ability to do it. I thought if I can overcome that, I might enjoy playing golf. So I asked a friend of mine to give me some tips, and bless his heart, he tried his best to teach me. You know, I thought golf was a simple game. I watched Tiger Woods on television, and he would just simply hit the ball with a club. It would fly and it would land near the hole, then he would go up and he'd just tap the ball right in. Looks simple, doesn't it? Well, it's not. Golf is one of the most frustrating things that I've ever done. I had this friend who took me out to try to give me some pointers, and he told me to stand a certain way, to hold the club a certain way, to keep one arm straight, to slightly bend the other arm, and not to grip the club too tight. He told me that I needed to turn my neck a certain way, tilt my head a little to the left, bend my knees slightly, rotate my hips. You know, all of that was just too much for me to remember. By the time we had finished 18 holes, I had a headache from all the stress, so I decided I didn't need to play golf anymore. It was too complicated for me. In the same way, we often make Christianity too complicated. I mean, you have to pray a certain way, you have to say a certain thing, you have to memorize a certain thing, You have to worship a certain way. Why, you can't even tell people about Jesus without memorizing a 19-point outline today. But the Bible says that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, the first people that followed him were common, everyday, ordinary fishermen. Jesus said to those common people, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And those ordinary people followed the Lord and turned the world upside down. Now, I believe we need to keep it simple. We need to get back to the simplicity of the early Christian church. And here in the book of Micah, we find some things that we need to keep simple. There are some simple things that we need to notice here in the book of Micah. First of all, we need to notice that God is working. Now, in the book of Micah, the children of Israel forgot that God was working for them. So, in verse 1, God speaks to them like a lawyer. This reminds me of a scene from Matlock or Perry Mason. The Bible says in verse 1, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice." God says that these mountains that have stood for many years in silence have seen God working for his people. He's saying, "These mountains have watched me work. They stand as a silent, faithful witness. And you, my people, don't think I've been working for you. Well, tell these mountains where I have failed you." And then look at verse 2. The Bible says, "Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel." God says here that he has a complaint against his people. He says that they have acted as if he wasn't working for them. He says they've been living as if there is no God. Today we often do the same thing. Because we can't always see the hand of God working, we often think that he's not working. Back during the closing days of World War II, one of America's mighty bombers took off from the island of Guam, headed for Kokura, Japan. The plane was loaded with bombs to be dropped on that Japanese city. As the bomber got closer, the captain noticed that the whole city was covered with clouds. He thought that was unusual because the forecast had called for clear skies. Well, because there were clouds over the target city, the B-29 circled for an hour until its fuel supply reached the dangerously low point. The captain and his crew were frustrated because they were right over the target, but because of the clouds, they were not able to fulfill their mission. With the fuel running out, they decided that they'd better go for their secondary target. When they changed course, they found the sky was clear, and they dropped their bombs, and the B-29 headed for home. When they returned from their mission, the captain and his crew were met by a military intelligence officer that had received some startling information. Just 1 week before the bombing mission, the Japanese had transferred most of their captured Americans to the city of Kokura. Now, none of them knew this, but many of the Americans in that camp were Christians. They had organized a prayer vigil for God to work in their situation, and if the cloud had not come up, if that cloud had not protected that city, if that city had not been hidden from the bomber, that city would have been destroyed and thousands of American soldiers would have died. God's ways are behind the scenes, but he moves all the scenes which he is behind. We have to just learn to let him work. And we have to understand that God is working even when we can't see it. So number one, God is working. And number two, notice that the people are weary. I want you to see what I think is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me." God is asking his own people what he has done to make them weary. What has he done to make them tired? If there's someone listening to me now and you're tired of God. You've grown tired of church. You're tired of reading the Bible. You're tired of fellowshipping with other Christians. How can that be possible? Well, it's possible when you forget to remember how God has been working in your life. That is when you get tired of God. Here we see a picture of a courtroom. The people of God are on trial. The mountains are witnesses. God is the prosecuting attorney, and he says, "Where is your evidence that I have failed you? Where have I made you tired?" God says, "I'm going to bring some evidence before this court that proves without a doubt that I've been faithfully working for you day by day, year by year." God is working right now. He's at work in your life. He's in the middle of everything that you're going through. Look at what he says in verse 4. "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." God says here, "I brought you up from Egypt." The Israeli people were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in a foreign country. Pharaoh said, "I'll never let you go," but God got them out of that country. And then he continued working in their lives, but they got weary waiting on God. And we're the same today. We hate to wait for anything. Statistics show that the average person spends close to an hour each day waiting for something. Elevators, traffic lights, your turn at the intersection. I get frustrated waiting 30 seconds for a burrito to cook in a microwave. I stand in front of the microwave and say, man, I wish this thing would hurry up. Waiting for the blessings of God in your life can fill your heart with either great expectations or frustration and bitterness. Well, that brings me to my third point. We've seen that God is working and that people are weary. Now I want you to see, we need to watch and wait. Did you ever see that television show, Mr. Ed? If you don't remember the program, I imagine you remember the song, a horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course, that is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. The television show, Mr. Ed, was about a talking horse, and I say all of that to tell you that God is about to show us a talking donkey. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. What is that all about? Well, Balak was the king of Moab. In the book of Numbers, Balak heard that the armies of Israel were defeating all the armies that stood in their way. The armies of Israel, they had the Ark of the Covenant, and they had the blessing of God, and Balak realized that he couldn't defeat this army because they had God on their side. So he hired a prophet named Balaam to curse the army of Israel. Balaam got his money and he set off on his faithful donkey. He was on his way to curse the people of God, and suddenly God sent an angel, a messenger. The angel of the Lord stood in front of the donkey with a sword drawn. Now Balaam didn't see the angel. Only the donkey saw the angel and he stopped. Balaam began to whip the donkey and he runs this way and he runs over that way, but the donkey will not go forward. And finally, the donkey just sits down. And Balaam starts frantically beating the donkey. Then the Bible says that God gave the mule the ability to speak. And he turns around and said to Balaam, why are you beating me? Haven't I been a good donkey? And Balaam says, well, yeah, you're right. You've never acted this way before. Now, that's the strange part to me. Balaam talks to the donkey like it was a normal thing. But all of a sudden, God opened up the eyes of Balaam and he saw the angel with a sword standing there. God was working. He just didn't see it. I wonder how many demon armies God has kept from you. I wonder how many times the devil was going to attack you, but God stopped him. Let me give you some advice. Instead of getting frustrated waiting on God, try spending your time remembering all the good things that God has done for you. Remember the day that you got down on your knees and gave your life to Jesus Christ? Remember how you were headed to a burning hell, but Jesus saved you? Remember how you lost your job, but God provided you with that other one? Remember how God saved your kid? Remember when you were so sick that you didn't think you were going to make it, but God pulled you through? When you're waiting on God, don't just sit there being depressed. Just keep it simple and remember how God has been good to you all these years and understand that He will be again. Well, let me wrap this up by giving you a practical, simple way to live your life. We have seen that God is working, that people are weary, that we need to watch and wait, and now I want you to see my last point. We need to walk the walk. Let me keep this simple. If I could sum up the Christian life in one sentence, it would be in verse 8. The Bible says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justly, what does that mean? It means to treat people fairly. Do justly to people at work. Do justly to people in school. Do justly to people at church. Do justly to people at home. Treat others like you would want to be treated. Love mercy, that means to love forgiveness. That means to treat others with compassion. Do compassionate deeds. Be kind to people. Be nice. When that telemarketer calls to try to sell you an automobile warranty, treat her with loving kindness. When that waitress messes up your order for the third time, treat her with loving kindness. When that young man at Walmart can't seem to get the cash register to work and you have to stand in line for 20 minutes, treat him with loving kindness. Then the Bible says to walk humbly. It says to walk humbly with your God. If I'm walking humbly with God, that means I have fellowship with God. That means I have surrendered to Him. That means I spend time daily with Him. That means I have a friendship with Him. Walk humbly with God. Back in the mid-1700s, there lived an old saintly woman who everyone called Mama. Mama really lived out Micah 6:8. She was just, she loved mercy, and she walked humbly with God. Mama was a lady that all the children in the neighborhood wanted as their mother. She had hair like a halo of silver, hands worn with calluses, and cheeks that were stained by tears. She cried tears every day for her son Johnny. Each and every day and each and every night, you would find Mama crying and praying for her son Johnny. Johnny had run away from home as a rebellious teenager, and he had become a sailor. In the years since, Johnny had become an ungodly, wicked man. He was disowned by his father and everyone who knew him because he was so mean and evil. But day and night, Mama kept praying that God would save and use her wayward boy. One day, God answered the prayer of Mama by sending a storm. You see, Johnny's ship was hit by a terrible and violent storm. Men were being washed overboard and the ship was tearing apart. During that storm, Johnny fell down on the deck of the ship. He remembered many of the Bible verses that Mama had taught him when he was a little boy. One of those verses said, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Johnny screamed, "Lord Jesus, save me." And the storm stopped, and Mama's prayer was answered. And Johnny, John Newton, the drunken sailor, became John Newton, the preacher, who wrote these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see." John Newton's song, "Amazing Grace," has become one of the most influential and most popular songs of all time. Some have called it the Christian national anthem. Sadly, Mama Newton did not live to see her son saved. But because of her influence, because she taught her son the Bible, because she lived out Jesus, the world today has amazing grace. Today we can sing "Amazing Grace" because of a believing, godly mother who just kept it simple. When you get up in the morning, why don't you ask the Lord to help you do justly? Ask the Lord Jesus to help you love mercy. Ask Him to help you walk humbly in His presence. I promise you, if you can act like that, you will touch every life that you meet. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple, saints.
Thank you, James, for that needed biblical insight. James Collins is our staff evangelist at Southwest Radio Ministries and is available to speak at your next event. James is excited to visit your church and share God's Word. To schedule James Collins to speak, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Also available when you call is our monthly newsletter, The Prophetic Observer. This publication will keep you informed as we watch God's prophetic clock. With everything going on in the Middle East, you need to stay informed. Timely articles on Bible prophecy, current events, and Scripture are all available for you in The Prophetic Observer. So get your copy when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Larry Stamm has another Messianic Minute for us as we look at biblical connections through a Jewish lens.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here with a Messianic Minute. Biblical connections through a Jewish lens. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Jewish prophet wrote about the birthplace of Messiah roughly 7 centuries before Jesus was born, stating, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." That prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, as Jesus was in fact born in Bethlehem. Of interest, Jesus calls himself the bread of life in John 6:35, and this designation is related to his being born in Bethlehem. You see, in Hebrew, the word Bethlehem literally means house of bread. So Jesus, the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. For more connections, visit our website at larrystamm.org or see our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page.
If you want to learn more about Messianic Minute and their ministry, visit larrystamm.org. Now, we have a major update for you concerning our conferences. Conferences are back. In-person and online conferences are on the calendar. Great speakers, compelling topics, and sessions that you will not want to miss. Denver, Columbus, and Las Vegas are all planned for in-person conferences. We also have an online conference that everyone can access via the internet from their homes. We are also offering special add-on packages. Now, these packages include audio recordings of the conferences, DVD and digital downloads on the sessions, and autographed books from some of the conference speakers. Registration is open right now. Visit swrc.com. Now, as we have our conference update, I want to kind of run down the schedule and let you know the speakers that have confirmed. Also, I want to let you know some of the topics that are going to be covered so that you can plan on which conference you want to attend, whether it's in person, online, or maybe all of them. Up first will be the Denver Prophecy Briefing. This is a one-day prophecy conference that will take place Saturday, July 3rd in Denver. Now, speakers confirmed to be at the one-day prophecy briefing on Saturday, July 3rd, Dr. Larry Spargimino, James Collins, and Greg Patton. Greg Patton's topic will be the New America. Dr. Spargimino will be speaking on revival in the end times. And James Collins will be speaking on a topic entitled Hide and Seek. You do not want to miss this special one-day prophecy briefing. Saturday, July 3rd, in Denver at the Denver Marriott South at Park Meadows near the Denver Airport. To register, all you have to do is call 1-800-652-1144. Or you can register online, swrc.com. Up next is our Summer Prophecy Conference. Now, this is our virtual conference. It takes place completely and totally online. All you have to do to register is go to swrc.com or call our 800 number, and you will get an all-access online pass, and you'll be able to watch all of the sessions of the conference as many times as you want on demand between July 30th and August 7th. Speakers at our virtual online Summer Prophecy Conference include Billy Crone, who'll be speaking on transhumanism and the end of humanity; Bill Federer, speaking on the miracles in American history; Todd Friel from Wretched Radio will be speaking on Jesus Unmasked; Michael Smith has the topic, Why the Rapture Could Happen in This Generation; Rabbi Kurt Schneider, Discovering the Jewish Jesus. Our very own James Collins will be speaking on the God of the Fresh Start. And we'll also have Dr. Spargimino and our ministry president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, will be presenting at this virtual conference. Again, when you register for this online conference, you'll get a link that will be sent to your email once you register. And then between July 30th and August the 7th, you will be able to watch all of these teaching sessions as many times as you want on your schedule and on demand from July 30th through August the 7th. It's our virtual online Summer Prophecy Conference with an excellent lineup of speakers, and you just heard some of the topics that will be discussed and will be presented. It's going to be outstanding. You can register and get your all-access pass to our Summer Virtual Online Prophecy Conference by visiting swrc.com, or you can just call 1-800-652-1144. This fall, we are scheduled to be in Columbus, Ohio, for the prophecy conference entitled, Is It Too Late? It'll be October 28th through the 30th. And we've got some wonderful speakers and some really great topics that I want to go through in just a second. But another big announcement for the October Prophecy Conference in Columbus, Ohio, is Dr. Spargimino will be debuting his brand new book. James Collins will be debuting a brand new book. And Greg Patton will have a brand new book. All three authors will be in attendance speaking and presenting, and will have their brand new books to let everybody have access to. So we're really excited about that. So at the Columbus Conference, October 28th through the 30th, we have scheduled Greg Patton, and he's going to be talking about the New America, Invisible War on the Saints, and then he is going to be hosting a special Spirit World-themed Q&A, where if you're at the conference, you'll be able to ask questions concerning demonic activity and all things spirit world related. Bill Federer will be at the conference at Columbus in October, speaking on political Islam's war on the West, as well as socialism, the real history. Billy Crone will be presenting Satanism and the rise of devil worship, and also subliminal seduction, how the mass media mesmerizes the minds of the masses. That's some good alliteration, and it's a really good topic. You will not want to miss that. Also at the Columbus Conference, we're going to have Larry Stamm, the host of Messianic Minute that you hear here on Watchmen on the Wall. He will be in attendance at the conference in Columbus, and he'll be talking about the Jewish roots of Christianity and also principles for personal evangelism. Dr. Spargimino, James Collins, Dr. Kenneth Hill, all will be in attendance presenting multiple sessions of prophecy and biblical insight that you will not want to miss. It is our really outstanding fall conference, October 28th through the 30th in Columbus, Ohio. Is It Too Late? Prophecy Conference presented by Southwest Radio Ministries. And you just heard the great lineup. If you are planning on attending, if you want to attend, or you want more information, just go to the conferences page of our website at swrc.com. There you can register, look at the schedule, see the speakers, the topics, and you can even check out our add-ons of conference DVDs, audio sessions. You can go ahead and pre-order those as well. One other in-person conference we have scheduled for this year, and that will take place November 20th and 21st in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is our Signs of the Times Prophecy Conference in Las Vegas, November 20th and 21st. Billy Crone, Dr. Spargimino, Greg Patton, and James Collins all confirmed for this two-day prophecy conference. Now, what's really neat about this Signs of the Times Conference in Las Vegas is it's absolutely free. All we ask is that you go online or call us and register so we know how many people to plan for. Registration is open for all of these conferences. Just visit swrc.com and register now. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. Before we head out today, I want to give you one more chance at getting our special offer. All this week, we've been highlighting a special group of resources that we know you'll love. This special offer includes five different books from our library, a prophecy DVD, and our 2021 prophecy calendar. All of this normally would cost $120, but it can be yours for a gift of $30 or more. So order your resource box today by calling 1-800-652-1144. You can also order your resource box online. Just go to swrc.com. We cannot wait for you to come to one or more of our scheduled conferences to participate in our online summer prophecy conference. It's going to be outstanding. We cannot wait to see you. Register today. My friends, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. We appreciate it so very, very much. Please visit swrc.com.